Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, January the 9th, 2026. Hey, got the year right. 19 minutes past the hour on this rainy Getaway Friday morning. And we're kicking off the morning this morning with a guest we've never had on the program, but we are so glad he's here because he's got a lot of news going on in his life currently in this district. He has now entered the Republican primary for the 86th District House of Representatives, 1st Ward City Councilman from Marysville, Ohio, Stephen Wolf. Stephen, thanks for coming over to Marion this morning. Glad to have you in the studio.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be up here, and you know, I'm happy to have a good conversation and let the people know of Marion, what I have going on, and what my kind of my ideas are.
Stephen, tell us about your background.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong resident of Marysville, Ohio. Born and raised at Memorial Hospital there. Lived in Mill Valley for the last probably 15-ish years, but I've lived in town in Marysville for my whole life. My mom's from Marysville, graduated from Marysville High School. They met over at Urbana University and moved back. So my family's in that area. And then I have family all throughout Union County up here in Marion. My uncle used to work at the prison. And then I have family that lives over in Byhalia, Magnetic Springs. So my family is tied into the 86th House District. But I'm currently on Marysville City Council as the 1st Ward Council member.
Now, your official announcement will come on the 15th. Is that right?
Yes. So my kickoff and kind of that fundraiser event will kick off the campaign season, but I've entered the race, announced, and then back in mid-October. So once we get through this fundraiser and event here on the 15th, we'll be in the full swing of things and ready to go.
Got in a major announcement in mid-October. The primary will be in May. That's a little late. What got you into this race?
Well, like I said, I'm a lifelong resident of Marysville, Ohio. I worked down at the State House for 4 years as a legislative aide. So I'm experienced in kind of the process, how things work in Columbus, you know, what legislation's happening. I know how that system works. And I'm also on council, like I said, in Marysville. So I have familiarity with, you know, people, concerns and issues that are important to voters in the district. So just kind of sitting there, seeing that Representative Richardson is now termed, and having, you know, her served her 8 years in the district, I felt it was the time to get involved, wanting to make sure that the residents of the 86th district and in the Republican primary had a candidate that represented them, represented their voice, a local candidate that knows the issues that they care about.
How do you feel about the job that Representative Richardson has done?
I think she's done a very good job. She's very involved in the community. I know in my time working at the State House, she had a reputation for being a hard worker. She always had her nose to the grindstone. She truly cared about the district. She's always at different events. And in my conversations with her down in Columbus and back up here in Marysville, funny enough, she lives probably 4 or 5 streets over from me in Mo Valley. But just having known her over these last 4 years and having conversations with her as I've worked to get involved in this primary, she's very dedicated to the district. And, you know, people can have differing opinions on what should and shouldn't happen and, you know, votes or decisions that have been made. But I think she's done a very good job for the residents of the 86th House District.
Are you surprised? Now, here's somebody, Tracy Richardson, who, as you say, has been very much out there, is term limited. But in this race, this primary race, has seemingly become a topic of well, she's supporting this person, she's not supporting this person, and it has almost become, do I want her to support me? Now, this is a person who's done very well in this district. Mm-hmm. And I've thought that's been an odd conversation to have.
Yeah, I think there's people, and I would, you know, if Representative Richardson wants to support me, I'd gladly take her support. She's, you know, very well known, and she has a lot of good insights in the district, but people have their opinions. There's differing opinions on every politician, every candidate. So I know, obviously, her and another candidate have, you know, had a kind of a rivalry, I guess, back to the last primary, and you know they're not great friends. But yeah, it's just depends on the person, depends on the voter, and you know people can disagree on maybe an issue or a vote. But I think ultimately she's proven that she's well liked within the district and well respected.
So if she were to endorse you, you would gladly accept that?
Yes, yeah, I'd gladly accept her endorsement.
Have you had any conversations with her about this?
I have. Going back into, this would have been late spring, early summer, had brief conversations with her here and there when we had a chance to interact. And then just kind of longer conversations. You know, I wanted to make sure I talked with her about this. She is the current state representative, and I know she knows a lot of the issues that go on throughout Union and Marion counties, and I respect her opinion on things. So wanting to talk with her and make sure I was in the right place, and that kind of went along with the you know conversations I had with other people, my family, my pastor, just kind of prayer, getting in a sense of, okay, am I wanting to do this? Is this something that I should be doing, want to be doing? And that's what ultimately led to my decision that, yes, I should be involved.
Did you get the impression that she was supportive of you getting in the race?
I do. I think she, obviously, she wants to make sure she finds a good successor for her to the district. She truly cares about this area and wants to make sure the person that takes the 86th seat in the next General Assembly is someone that she thinks is a good successor that will help continue the progress that's seen within Union and Marion counties.
There have been many conversations and accusations, I guess would be the best way to put it, that she is backing Ben Weber. Now, no formal endorsement or anything of that nature has happened, but did you get that impression from her that she was in Ben Weber's camp?
I got the impression for her that she was still considering all the options, trying to figure out who is the best candidate and who she thinks is the best candidate to win the election. So working with her and kind of having those conversations, whether she thinks it's me or Ben, that's up to her. But, you know, I'm more than happy to have more conversations with her. You know, it's one of those things where she's going to do what she feels is best, and that's not going to determine whether I continue to run a campaign that I think I should be running. It's something that, you know, if she decides to endorse me or decides to endorse Ben, that's her decision, and I'll keep working for the people of Union County and Marion counties.
Do you think she will endorse somebody before May?
I think she will. I don't know when that timeline will be. I don't know if it'll get closer to that primary. We're still 5 months away, so I don't know if she'll wait till a little later in the process just to see how things all shake out, and you know who knows if another surprise candidate jumps in before the filing deadline. But I'll see. But I'm almost certain she'll endorse someone before then.
Do you feel confident that would be you?
I don't have a indication one way or another whether she'll endorse me or Ben. But like I said, I'm more than happy to get her support. But her not endorsing me doesn't end my campaign. It's something that I have a lot of local support from. Living in the district for 26 years, the people that I know, the people I go to church with, people in the community, you know, I members of the Marysville school district, the community itself, the city council in Marysville, family living all over, just knowing people within the district, there's a lot of support for my campaign.
What support have you seen in Marion or Union County?
Yeah, so a lot, obviously. Having lived in Union County, a lot of my support comes from around that Marysville area. But like I said, I have family that lives up here in Marion. My uncle, he has, you know, his family obviously is up here. And I've been involved in this area before. I've come up for baseball tournaments. Union Post 79, when I played baseball, we came up here for baseball tournaments. And we've been involved in this area. But a lot of that support, you know, is centered in my base is kind of in that Marysville area, but I have family all over the district, family all over Union County, and not even just family, but people that I know that, you know, I've interacted with my entire life, teachers, coaches, family, friends, residents that, you know, we're not related to, but I've known for years and they feel like family. So that's kind of where the focus of my support has been. And then there's also, you know, members of Marysville City Council, and having worked with them for the last two years, working with them, seeing the way we've adjusted to growth in Marysville and kind of the relationships we've built along the way. At my fundraiser coming up on the 15th, we're actually having former Marysville Mayor Hank Burby. He was president of council, was on there for, I believe, 16 years. His final term was his past term and decided not to run for re-election, but he's going to be speaking at the fundraiser, and you know, there's a lot of support for my campaign throughout the district and different elected officials as well.
Obviously, money plays a part in this. How hard is it to fundraise when you get in with less than a year to go?
Yeah, well, there's obviously challenges that come with that. I think there's people that decide to back one candidate over another, and you know, they pledge their support to one candidate, and you know, hey, we support you, but we can't back. We're not going to, you know, go back on our word to support another candidate. So that's obviously a challenge. But there's a lot of support still that comes out, and there's small business owners. There's you know, people that I've had conversations with that are willing to support, and they're willing to get involved once we get this into a full swing and have those conversations. And I'm not one. I hate asking people for money. It's one of those things, you know, growing up doing fundraisers for school, doing for football, whatever it is, never a fun thing. But I know there's a lot of support for me out there, and there's a lot of people that are they're willing to give in. And I don't think necessarily money is going to be the determining factor in this race. Sure, it's a big thing, and it helps. It helps to run a campaign when you have a decent amount of money, you know, with mailings and flyers and cards and yard signs and whatnot. But I think candidate quality is what really matters, and making sure that the person that we elect to represent the 86th district for the Republican Party in the election in November is a quality candidate. And you know, you don't have to have a lot of money to be that.
Candidate quality, that's very interesting, because obviously you have gotten in this race after two other people are in this. Why did you feel that they were not the right options?
Yeah, so the way I look at it is, I've lived here my whole life. I have that familiarity with the district, and I truly care about this place. You know, I, like I said, graduated from Marysville High School, went down to Davidson College in North Carolina, spent 4 years there, played football, said, you know what? One, I didn't like the heat as much. It was way too hot in the summers there, so I decided to move back here. But I love this area, and I've told plenty of people. I told people down there when I was in school. I've told people, you know, while I was at school up here that, hey, I want to move back. This is where I want to be. And, you know, obviously Marysville is different than Marion, but Marysville is where I decided I want to stay. This is where I want to raise my family, start a family, you know, live my life. And so getting involved on city council, I've had the opportunity to talk to numerous people throughout the city of Marysville, and even residents that don't live in Marysville but live in the surrounding townships and areas that, you know, hey, we have concerns, and, you know, I decided, hey, I want to get involved. I want to address these and work with people. And having worked down at the State House, I had that experience and know, hey, this is how things operate. This is how you get legislation done, because there's a lot of new members that jump into the legislature, and it takes that first term to get an understanding of, hey, this is how you get legislation passed. This is how you work on amendments. And, you know, that first budget, your first capital budget, first operating budget, is always a struggle to get through, just because there's a lot of things you have to learn, and you're that low man on the totem pole. And, you know, leadership and experienced members, they know what they're doing, and they have things they want to get into the budget, and, you know, this is the process that it's going to work out. So just seeing my one experience in Union County, familiarity with the area, familiarity with Marion, and my familiarity with the state legislature and how things worked, that helped me decide, hey, I need to get involved in this race. The people of this district need someone that truly cares about them, truly cares about this community, and wants to make sure that the best decisions get made for the people that live here.
So how would you describe the candidate quality prior to you getting in?
Well, I think obviously you have Weslyn Davis, who's a township trustee, and, you know, she's been involved down in the Jerome Township area. And then you also have Ben Weber, who moved into Union County two or three years ago recently, getting involved. And so I've seen them at plenty of, you know, Republican Party events, and had conversations with them. I worked with Ben for a couple years. So I'm not going to speak negatively about anyone. I think everyone can make their own decisions on who they think is the best candidate. But I just felt that there was a different perspective that was needed, and someone who's had that experience in the district, and someone who, you know, lives here, truly cares about what's going on.
Could you have seen yourself voting for either one of them in the primary?
Well, obviously, Wesleyan has ran before, and I, if you go back and see, I endorsed Tracy Richardson for her last term, so I've supported Tracy. I've had conversations with Wesleyan, you know, when she got involved in the primary that time around. I had conversations with her and was willing to talk. And with Ben, there's still, you know, got to figure out exactly what his priorities are and getting to know him more just as a newer candidate, a newer person in the area. Like I said, it's still one of those things where I would have to learn more about both candidates this time around because each election's different, each cycle's different, there's different issues that arise. I'd say, you know, I would, if I didn't run, I would still have to look, and that's the way I look at every election. You know, when I wasn't on Marysville City Council and we had an election in 2021, I had to look in depth at all the candidates, even though I think the three that had won, yeah, had been on council for years. I had to make sure, hey, I'm going to go through and look at all these candidates, make sure I know what they stand for, I know what their beliefs are, what they're advocating for, and kind of taking that deep dive. So if I didn't run this time around, I would still have to go through and take that deep dive, and I probably wouldn't make a decision until closer to the primary.
What are the biggest issues the people of the 86th district face?
Well, I think you would not be doing justice to say property taxes, because property taxes is probably the biggest issue that many people around the state of Ohio, and especially in our district, are facing. Rising property taxes and levies that schools are bringing up because, you know, they're heavily reliant on property taxes. So having that conversation of how do we best, one, reform our property tax system. And I know there was someone down at the State House I worked very closely with made the comment that Ohio is addicted to property taxes and needs to go to rehab. And I agree, that's true. There's not necessarily in this district, but there's other places around the state where there's, you know, 30 and 40 different taxing jurisdictions and levies that people are voting on or are subject to. And I think we need to take a deep dive and say, hey, what's the best way to truly fund property taxes? And I know there is an argument, and there's people that are wanting to circulate a petition to get on the ballot to completely remove property taxes. And I completely understand where they're coming from. It's one of those things where I don't believe you should have the fear that you're going to lose your house, something you own, just because you can't pay the property taxes on it. And especially you have older residents who are on a fixed income. You have veterans who are on either a fixed income, you know, partially or totally disabled veterans. And you just have regular everyday people that, you know, are living their lives, and they're subject to very high property taxes, especially in the Marysville area. Property taxes have gone up considerably. So that's the number one issue right now, is how do we adjust property taxes, and how do we make sure that it's a system that, one, treats our seniors and veterans fairly, make sure that they're not at risk of losing their homes, but also says we need to reform this, we need to fix this, because it's an archaic system that's, you know, been spent years and years, that obviously there's been changes, and I think some things have happened over the last year and a half that the legislature hears a lot of those concerns and are making some changes, but there's still more to do. So that's the biggest issue for me. But then also, I look at spending and, you know, our budget. If you look back at the Ohio budget, and this includes obviously all the money at the state, but then federal money that comes in, the state of Ohio's budget is for 26-27 fiscal years is going to be around $100 billion. And for a state of right around 11-12 million people, the comparison I use is the state of Florida has a budget of roughly $117 billion for their population. That's double ours. So I think there's a lot that we need to do to address the amount of spending that happens in the state. Some of that is stuff that's very worthwhile, and we need to keep spending and funding. Other things, we can take a look at, is this needed? Is this a need? Because I'm an advocate of smaller government. Let's make sure we're not spending more than we have. And if we do that, then we don't need to ask the resident for as much. We don't need to ask the voter for more money. And I think we see it with with income taxes coming down, a flat rate. But there's also a limit to that. In a perfect world, we don't have any taxes. I'm not a fan of taxes, but we don't live in a perfect world. And so we have to make sure we're doing the right thing by our residents and by our voters, and saying, hey, let's shrink down how much we're spending. And it doesn't have to be by $60-70 billion, but we can shrink down somewhat to say, hey, maybe we can put that money in towards fully funding our school systems, and that can take some of that pressure off of voters and taxpayers, property taxpayers, because those schools won't have to rely on levies as much. But it's a balancing act.
You know, it's very interesting because this week, certainly the governor's race was in the news. Mm-hmm. Both lieutenant governor candidates have been chosen by Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I had Representative Jim Renacci on last week. He ran for governor the last go-around in the Republican primary. And he said that he felt, and he said he's had conversations with Vivek Ramaswamy about him being of the Hindu religion being a problem in Ohio. Joe Blystone, who ran for governor the last time around and won several counties, Morrow County, a lot of counties in this area, mm-hmm. Is no fan of Vivek Ramaswamy. And if you look at the polls, and polls are polls, right now he is running behind Amy Acton, and the first time a Republican has run behind a Democrat in a gubernatorial race in Ohio, this is the first time that's happened in quite some time. What do you make of Vivek Ramaswamy, and why do you think there are these problems? And people in the Republican Party who ran for governor last time who are not over-the-top supporting him?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on the candidate. Every election's different, like I said, even with the 86th district. But, you know, the governor's race is different. It takes into account the entire state. Vivek is a newer face. I won't say he's brand new. He's been involved, ran for president, obviously, worked with the Trump administration. But he's a newer face in Ohio politics, and people still have to get to know him. I mean, he's only the only candidate that's running for governor in the Republican primary. That's widely known. You have several others that are involved. But he's the front runner in the Republican primary right now. So people are still kind of getting to know him, getting to know his policies, what his beliefs are, what he's advocating for. And I think his addition to his ticket, the Rob McCauley addition, is helpful for him.
Got him the governor's endorsement.
Got the governor's endorsement. He's someone that's well-known in Ohio politics. He's been around, been involved. And he has the knowledge of that system in Columbus and what happens. And Senate president, so obviously he's respected by his peers. So I think that helps with his campaign. And we'll have to see as we get closer. Obviously, I don't look at polls that are, you know, 10, 11 months out of an election with an extreme amount of weight, just because, you know, not everyone's as involved. People aren't paying attention to a governor's race in November on January 9th. So things are different. But the, you know, more involved voters are obviously in those primaries, so they're going to make their decision. And once we get into, you know, November, obviously late September, I think we'll have a better understanding, a better feel for where things are going. But I know he has President Trump's endorsement and support, so I think that helps. That'll help a lot as we get closer to the election. I don't know what that'll be with Trump not running on the ballot this time around for, you know, a midterm election. So we'll see how that affects, you know, if that changes things. But we still have a long way to go to see kind of where Vivek's going to end up.
Personally, how do you feel about his candidacy?
I still have to learn more about the guy. I, you know, was able to hear him speak at the Union County Republican Party's Farm Fest in last August. And he was very well supported by the attendees there. There were a number of people that, you know, I've spoken to and that are involved in Union County politics and just local Republicans that want to, you know, hear what candidates have to say that support his candidacy. So I'm just still familiarizing myself now that he's officially running for governor here. It's different than running for president. Obviously, you have different focuses. So I'm still familiarizing myself with his campaign and ideals. But I know he supports, you know, shrinking the government down, having worked with DOGE very briefly and then deciding to run here for governor. So I support him in that regard of let's make sure we're not spending more than we need to, more than we have to. But also I know he is supportive of school choice. which is something I'm also supportive of. I think there's a fine balance between public education and private education. I don't think not every student is the same. People need different things. I went through from public K through 12 at Marysville Schools my entire life, went to two preschools in the area, and then went to a private college and came back. So I think people need different things depending on where they're at, where they live. But a student shouldn't be forced into a school and be forced into a failing school because of their area code, because of where they live. So I think there's great options, and everyone's different. Me and my siblings went through public schools and did fine. There's some students that, you know, go through these public schools, and it's not the best option for them. And at least down in Marysville, we have several, you know, we have private schools, Trinity and St. John's, that they can go through, and it doesn't go up through high school, but it gives them that kind of private religious school experience through their, you know, formative years.
So at this point, you would not say that Vivek is your guy you need to learn more?
Well, he's the main front runner in the party, and I support winners. And I want to make sure the person that I support is going to win. And I think he has that support. So I would support Vivek. But like I said, if there were other candidates that become viable and front runners, I would make sure to do my due diligence. I think it'd be irresponsible just to vote for someone because I know their name or know who they are.
Right. You know, it's very interesting, and I'm asking this question of both Democrats and Republicans because, oddly enough, whoever wins this gubernatorial race, if it is Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy ending up being the candidates, you are going to have a first, either the first elected woman governor of Ohio or the first non-white candidate elected of Ohio. Is that a problem for Vivek Ramaswamy, or have we evolved past that?
No, I don't think that's an issue at all. I think, and I would hope all Republican voters agree with me, and I believe most do, that gender or race don't play an issue in who I decide to support or who they decide to support. It has to do with the person, you know, what their promises are, what their goals are, what their campaign philosophy is, what they're doing. And I think that's the biggest thing for me and most voters is who that person is as a politician, elected official, what they're wanting to do, what their ideas are, how they're going to make Ohio better, you know, how they're going to make sure we keep things affordable. How are we going to address the issue of property taxes? And I don't think being Hindu or not being white or being a woman has anything to do with that. I think the biggest issue is who is this best person for the position, regardless of any of those kind of identity characteristics.
Governor DeWine, thoughts on him?
Governor DeWine, he's been around for a long time. You know, there's a lot of things that he's been involved in that, one, you know, change people's perspectives. He's not been the biggest fan of our president, President Trump. So I would say of the options, he's been decent. There's things I disagree with, the handling of kind of COVID and how things have gone there, and just working in the legislature, I know some of the pushback he's given on different things regarding property taxes or other legislation that, you know, in my time as a legislative aide, you know, he's pushed back on that I don't necessarily agree with, but I know that when push comes to shove, he's supported Republican issues and conservative causes. You know, someone who's been around since, I believe he got involved in the late 70s, early 70s, he's been in Ohio politics for a lifetime. So I'm not 1,000% DeWine supporter, but I think he's done an adequate job. I think people are tired of kind of the consistent way of thinking and, you know, how things have gone over the last, I guess, 16 years and kind of that push and, a lot of voters in Ohio wanting to kind of get more on board with the Trump philosophy. So I think that's where you see support for Vivek kind of rising up, and why someone like Vivek, who's a fresher face in Ohio politics, is getting more support on the Republican side. So I think, you know, DeWine has mixed views for most people. And I'd say that's the same with me.
President Trump.
Yeah, no, I'm a supporter of President Trump. I voted for him in the last two elections when I've been able to vote. And, you know, I know he's obviously, he's got a personality. And I think that's why a lot of people support him, is just because you know, tells it how it is, how he thinks, whether you like it or disagree or don't. That's who he is. And I think that's fresh for a lot of people. You don't have candidates telling you. He's not telling you what you want to hear. He's telling you what he thinks and what he believes. So I support him. You know, he's doing a lot for us, especially on the international stage, and, you know, making sure that he's pushing the Republican agenda and the conservative agenda that he has been pushing. You know, obviously things are crazy in national politics, and there's a lot that goes on in Congress, but I'm supportive of the president.
As far as his popularity in Ohio, because that's what will matter for Republicans, certainly coming up, and Democrats coming up this election cycle this year, do you think his support will be as strong as it has been?
Yeah, I think it will. I think his support will continue. But, I mean, we have seen in elections where he's not on the ballot, and that goes for Ohio and other places where he's done very well. Things change. You know, those low propensity voters aren't getting out as much in those off-year elections where he's not on the ballot. So I think his support and the support for candidates that he endorses will continue in Ohio. Obviously, I don't know if Vivek will win by a margin that Trump is winning by, because, you know, Trump and Vivek are different people, and Trump's a person on his own personality that you can't really replicate. So I think his support will continue. I think candidates that he endorses will continue to get support, but I don't know to what degree that'll be different.
Were you surprised before Christmas that obviously the Vivek campaign has been hitting Amy Acton over her handling of COVID, and the person who came to her defense was Mike DeWine and said she wasn't the only person I was getting information from. If you're blaming her for COVID, you're doing the wrong thing. The buck stops with me. I made the decisions, and that's the way it is. That was kind of shocking for a lot of people from Mike DeWine.
I mean, I don't see it extremely shocking. You know, like I said, I disagreed with kind of how he handled COVID, and obviously she played a big part in that as the director of health, and, you know, had that influence and didn't make the decisions, but helped make those decisions. So it makes sense, and that's what someone, an elected official in DeWine's position should say. You know, ultimately, he's the one that has to make those decisions. But the advice that she was giving and you know, kind of the policies and procedures that she wanted to see happen, they weren't as helpful as I think you see in states like Florida, where people reopened a lot quicker. Their economy started to, you know, get back going again. So obviously, hindsight's 2020. But I think looking at, you know, DeWine and Amy Acton, sure, that he, you know, he appointed her to be his director of health. So it makes sense that he would be the one making the decisions, but taking her influence. So obviously she was involved in that and decided, I think we should do this. And DeWine said, yeah, let's do that. But I think those decisions had a negative effect on a lot of small businesses, especially. We see where, you know, they ended up closing and haven't reopened or changed the way they do things and haven't been as successful. And I think ultimately just the level of discourse around all of that has resulted in a lot more division in Ohio and in the country. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that he would say that. It doesn't shock me at all. You know, they made those decisions together.
And coming back to this race, because it is going to come down to candidates in this primary, what's your thumbnail sketch of Ben Weber?
I mean, I'm not one to try and paint pictures of other people. I know in the last primary, a lot of arguments and disillusionment that people have had with the process and a lot of the kind of disgust that they have was just the attacking that went on between Tracy and Weslin. And it was a situation of there was a lot of money spent, in this district that's very Republican. And odds are that the winner of the Republican primary is going to win the election in November. That they don't want to see infighting. They don't want to see people going back and forth and trying to paint someone one way or the other. I think the biggest focus, at least for me and my campaign, is focusing on myself, you know, my experience in the district, what I bring to the table. my experience in Columbus and those relationships that I have with people that live here, and rather doing that than focusing on these are the people I'm running against, because ultimately whoever wins this primary is going to be the front runner. And, you know, whether you like one candidate over the other in this primary, there's very small differences between, you know, our campaigns. We're all pro-life. We all support the Second Amendment. And, you know, we have maybe differing philosophies. And my campaign is going to focus on me and trying to point that out on, hey, this is how I feel we should do things. But we're all conservatives, and we all support, you know, generally the same conservative ideals.
And I want to get to that point in a second, but I don't want to leave out Wesleyan, yeah. Thumbnail sketch of Wesleyan Davis.
I would say the same thing. You know, I think voters obviously need to reach out to us, reach out to me, reach out to them. You know, I don't have a problem personally with either of them. You know, I've spoken with them many times. I think we have differing views on some things and, you know, differing experiences, differing. And I think that's what a primary should bring out, is some people with differing views and differing experiences on some things. But I'm never going to make this personal. I'm never going to go after one or the other. And I would hope they'd treat it the same way. And, you know, we're all Republicans. We're all conservatives. We have different experiences from one another. And I think there's value in all of that. But I think the voters will ultimately make the best decision and make the decision that they think makes the most sense for the 86th district.
Well, and I think that's the point that a lot of people are having problems with that I've talked to in this particular primary. Certainly with the two people we've had in it, now yourself will be in it. People look at the candidates and they go, okay, they say they're all conservative. They all support Vivek Ramaswamy. They are not big fans of Mike DeWine. They are pro-life. They, it almost seems like we can't find the issue that they disagree on. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference? What's the differences?
Yeah,
what are the differences?
Well, like I'd say, you know, I've been on Marysville City Council now for the last 2 years. Wesleyan was on Jerome Township as a trustee for a number of years. So just, you know, our backgrounds in the district, you know, where we've been involved, our elected experience, the amount of time that we've spent getting to know voters and working with voters on different things. So I would say, you know, it's what is your experience with that person? And I think I wish more people would get involved in local and state elections and, you know, pay attention to what's going on at the state level and at the local level. A lot of that attention gets played up to Congress and the president, and those are very important places. But the stuff that happens here in Columbus and, you know, in Marion and Marysville and Richwood and the townships in between, I think matters a little more and has a more direct impact on the voters. So I'd say a lot of those kind of differences are, hey, where is this person from? How long have they been involved in our area? What are their priorities? How are they campaigning? You know, what is their focus? Who are they working with? Who are they talking to? And I think it is really going to come down to kind of those face-to-face interactions with voters. And, you know, once we get door knocking and we're in the full swing of a campaign and you're able to meet with a candidate, I think that helps a lot. And that'll help someone decide whether they support one candidate over the other. Because like I said, we're all conservative and you've said it as well. We support a lot of the same things, but we're different people. We have similar things that we've been involved with, but different backgrounds, you know, different time spent in the area.
So if somebody is looking at this and undecided on who they want to vote for, they should vote for Stephen Wolf because?
They should vote for Stephen Wolf because I have lifelong experience here in Union and Marion counties. Like I said, I've served on Marysville City Council for the last 2 years, but I have that experience down in Columbus at the State House. The behind-the-scenes experience that you see working with different fields, you know, working my boss in the State House was the chair or is the chair of the State or House Higher Education and Workforce Committee. So that experience there, looking at higher education, the expenses, and how much that costs, and the best way to help our students and help the people of Ohio. But also, I feel that I have the most care and focus and compassion for this district and this area, and truly want to represent the people and be a voice for them and be someone that they can reach out to at any time. you know, on my website, wolfforohio.com, I have my email, phone number. You can ask me questions. I'm more than happy to come and meet, speak with you, talk with you. I was up here a couple weeks ago to meet with the Young Republican Club up here in Marion County, and going to different events around the district, meeting with township officials at township trustee meetings, and just having those conversations. So I'd say those are the biggest reasons to support me. I support this community. This is where I want to live. This is where my home is and where I'm going to raise my family. So I have that background.
You know, we've talked about it in this interview, but the last primary go-around for this position in the 86th District was Weslin and Tracy. Mm-hmm. And it has left a very imprinted memory on people's mind because of how negative it got. And as you said earlier in the interview, Tracy and Weslin certainly are not the best of friends.
No love lost.
No. Because of the way that went, mm-hmm. and here we are. So when you look at that race and you look at how people conducted themselves, how do you feel? What did you think of that race, that primary race?
I would say, you know, as I said, there's a lot of people that were not extremely thrilled with the way that was conducted, the amount of, you know, attack mail that was sent out, and I think that brings people to see, you know, the bad side of politics and what gets imprinted in people's minds of this is how, you know, elections are run and this is what happens. And I think that's a very big negative because especially in a Republican primary where we generally agree on a lot of things, the focus needs to be on who is the best candidate for us, who is the best candidate to win in November, not, you know, let's argue and fight about, you know, sling mud, say this person's a horrible person, this is a terrible, people make different decisions. You know, I wouldn't have voted for Representative Stevens to become speaker, but Tracy obviously felt differently. But I don't think people want to sit here and see arguing and fighting and name calling and attack ads and all that money being spent in a Republican primary when that could be used in much better places. And especially in a legislature where there's districts that are 50-50. I think of one down in Dayton where it's 49-51, 50-50, depending on what numbers you look at. And races like that are what help determine the state house, not, you know, arguing and fighting in a Republican primary in a safe district.
You know, the only thing that I've seen in this race so far, this primary, is Weslin has certainly made it very clear that Ben Weber is Tracy's candidate. And Ben has said, no, that's not the case. How do you see that?
Like I said, Representative Richardson hasn't, to my knowledge, or to me directly, made an endorsement. If Weslin sees it that way, she's allowed to. If she wants to conduct her campaign and focus on Ben being Tracy's, you know, successor, whatever that might be, that's fine. I don't think that's going to be as big of an issue as people may think. Like I said, candidate quality matters. Meeting with voters matters. Speaking to those people, interacting, going to those events, having those conversations is what I think is going to ultimately make people's decisions. So if she wants, she's allowed to run her campaign the way she wants to, as has been, like I am. We might run things differently. Maybe in some areas we'll run a similar campaign. But I don't think that, you know, is necessarily going to be true. I don't know if when or if she's going to issue an endorsement at what time. But I think ultimately people are going to look at the candidates themselves and say, you know what, I don't like, you know, maybe I don't like the way this campaign was run. I don't like the way this mailer was mailed out or the ad or whatever that might be. Because I think that was the biggest thing last time around. You know, we received 7 or 8 different pieces of mail for the same primary, you know, 5-2, 4-3, whatever the number was, going after one opponent to the next. So, you know, whatever is going to happen in that regard is going to happen. I can't control any of the other campaigns, but at least for my campaign, and I know for the people that support me and the people that I work with and talk to, are going to focus on Stephen Wolf and what I can do for the district and what I can do for Marion and Union counties.
I want to talk about Marion County for a second here in the final few minutes of our interview. Marion County certainly has been in the news recently. Our city government has called in the state auditor because of financial problems, deficits, money not being there. And I believe it was last week or the week before, the county has said they passed a $4.5 million deficit budget and said they cannot continue to do that after this year. The funding for downtown Marion has been completely cut by both entities because of these cuts. This is something new in Marion County. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's a sad situation to see. I think if you look at Marysville and Marion, you see kind of two different places. Obviously, they're different places, but you know, Marysville, and in my time on council, we valued making sure we have a conservative, responsible budget, and we're not spending more money than we need to. But we're in a different spot where we're getting a lot of people moving into Southern Union County, into Marysville, and that's brought challenges of its own. So I look at kind of how our budgets are structured and the challenges that we're facing, and those are obviously different than the way things are going up here in Marion. So I don't envy Marion City Council. I know it's a tough decision on how to get all that rectified. I don't know the specifics of what all has occurred and how long. I know since I believe it was 2018, 2019, kind of there's been issues with the budgeting and the books and the auditors have had to come in. So I think transparency, that was a key of mine on city council when I ran, was transparency. But I think that's a big thing here is, you know, city council needs to make sure we're being transparent, and all city councils do, on how they're spending public money and where that money's going, where it's coming from, which is why I've worked on legislation down in Columbus that would require, you know, entities, I guess it would be cities, townships, counties, all municipalities, all taxing entities, they have to publish on the state auditor treasurer's website that deals with, you know, money coming in and how much is being spent. They'd be required to spend that to advocate for more transparency. So I think there's never enough transparency in government. Yet you're accountable for every penny that you bring in from the citizens and where that money goes. So I think, you know, hopefully things get sorted out here in Marion. And I know they're working with the state auditor's office and the county. But ultimately, that's the citizens' money. And that's why we need to make sure that local governments are being accountable and why more people need to be involved in local government.
Wanted to ask you a question as a Marysville city council person, because a lot of the blame in Marion from city council, the mayor, I guess those are the two main entities, are on the auditor.
Okay.
Do you think that that's fair, that if you are on city council, if you are the mayor, that 90% of the blame for the financial woes should go on the auditor?
So I would say obviously our cities are structured slightly differently. I mean, we don't have a city auditor. Our treasurer, Brad Lutz, finance director, treasurer, he does a great job. And I think part of the differences come just between in, you know, the trajectory of our cities and where things go. So I think, you know, how the structure is set up to look at things is important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the elected officials, the city council members, they're the ones that have to make that yes or no decision on a budget and what changes need to be made. And I know there's changes that are coming here in Marion, you know, cuts to different departments and needing to make sure we're financially responsible and fiscally responsible. So I would say as a city council person, I'm responsible for the vote I make. So, you know, if anything comes up in the Marysville budget, I'm the one that has to vote yes or no on that. The voters vote for me, so I need to be accountable to them.
With a minute left to go, two quick questions here. All of our county commissioners are Republicans, and I believe there is only one Democrat on city council. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that a county basically governed by 95% Republicans is in this type of fiscal trouble?
I think every county is different. Every area is different. The people that are representing the citizens in those areas are different. So I'm not going to say it's because someone's a Republican or a Democrat. You know, the financial situations are very different between Marion and Union counties. And Union County is responsible. 100% Republicans are elected in Union County and on city council and on the county commissioners. So it just happens to be different. You know, this could happen in Columbus. It could happen in Marion. It could happen in any city, just depending on the financial situation and what's happening there.
And then just finish this sentence. Stephen Wolf is?
Stephen Wolf is a lifelong resident of Union and Marion counties, a lifelong conservative and Republican, and you know, I would look forward to your vote, and check out my website, wolfforohio.com, and you can find more information on me and my campaign.
Stephen Wolf, first ward city councilman in Marysville, now running in the Republican primary for the 86th District House of Representatives here in Ohio. Stephen, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It was great.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Reach out anytime.
We'll be back right after this.
Including train compliance, the police department, certified public records training, fraud training, cybersecurity, sunshine laws training schedule, Ohio ethics training, and the Mount Vernon Project School of Public Service. Mary Stoneburner is president of council. At-large members, Aaron Rollins, Dan Clark, and Scott Kreider. First ward and the president pro tempore is Sean Barr. Second ward, Pamela Larkin. Third, Ralph Smith. Fourth,